you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would please, the book of 2 Corinthians. The 11th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians will be our beginning point. If you have something in your hand, or like your bulletin or something, and you wanted to mark some other spots, mark John chapter 1, John chapter 1. We will visit there, and in Genesis chapter 3, we will end the message in Genesis chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, John 1, and Genesis chapter number 3. Our text is found in verse number 1 of chapter number 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Paul is writing here. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. That ought to bring up a memory for you. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I don't know if you have a habit of underlining or marking in your Bible, but I have underlined in my Bible, from the simplicity that is in Christ. I want to preach you a message today entitled, The Simplicity of Christ. I have underneath that message title in my notes this phrase, a message preached the Sunday after vacation. A message preached the Sunday after vacation. By my own admission, I'm a little rusty today. I haven't said anything spiritual for 3 weeks. Beverly would not let me preach to her on the vacation, and so I had nobody to preach to. But we just enjoyed ourselves tremendously. And I enjoy preaching after vacation. I always know that I am excited. You've been gone for so long, it's always good to be home. I want to thank you as our church family for allowing me to go on vacation. I want to thank you for your prayers, for your kindness, for your gifts, for your cards, for your notes. I want to thank you for understanding the need for a pastor to go on vacation. I want to thank you for your regard. Constantly, Plantation Baptist Church regards their pastor. You always regard my personal time. You regard my family time. You regard my privacy. You allowed me to be gone. Even if you reached out to me, you reached out to me with regard and kindness. And I just want you to know I love you for that. And I appreciate that. I knew you were in good hands. I love the camera system. With my phone, I can check into the hallways. With my phone, I can check in here. You know, you can do a lot with a phone that you didn't used to be to do in the ministry. So I knew you were walking the line and behaving and doing a good job. To the men that spoke and filled the pulpit, let me say thank you for being men of God. Let me say thank you for preaching God's book with God's power. Brother Reuben preached on a Wednesday night. Brother Branch preached on a Wednesday night. Brother Herb Hubbard, that crazy man from Georgia. I stopped on the way home and ate at Cracker Barrel with him, and he was talking about how blessed he was and what a joy it was for him to be here. I heard he led you in the Pledge of Allegiance, and you had a good service there. And he's my friend. He loves God and walks with God. Brother Bailey preached for us on a Wednesday night. I understand he did a great job and what a blessing he was. And then my dad showed up. Thank you for being kind to my dad. I hope he didn't throw me under the bus too much. I was too nervous to watch my dad online. I just figured, forget it. Whatever he does, he does. I understand you had a great service there. And then Brother John covered on Wednesday night. And so what did a marvelous job. His first time speaking to our church at that level. And so I'm glad that all throughout Plantation Baptist Church, from the nursery department to the pulpit, We have men and women that can teach the Bible and teach the Bible with power and authority. And I love you. This year, for vacation, you know, we went to see family. We're still in that stage where our vacations are to go to see family and to see friends. And most importantly, to get out of South Florida. Can I get an amen there, right? I understand. We drove over 4,000 miles. Pastor, you're out of your mind. Well, yes, but wait until you hear. We did it kind of unique. The Lord blessed us with the ability to fly the kids. So the kids flew up and met us, and then they flew back, and they never had to ride in the car. The best family vacations for me are without the family, praise the Lord. And so we just got rid of them as fast as we could. The opportunity opened up. We're like, yes, yes, thank you, Jesus, very much. So they were able to spend time. We left on a Monday and went to the mountains of Georgia and North Carolina. Let me tell you something. There is a God. And he created the earth. He did a good job. The mountains are beautiful, man. I mean, if you've never been to the mountains, you need to go and spend some time up there and just let your eyes look at the grandeur. I kept singing, "How Great Thou Art." What other song do you sing? How great thou art. Was able to sit on the porches in the mountains and drink coffee and look at the trees. And I enjoyed that. You know, one thing about South Florida is it touches the world. So we wanted to find this little hole in the wall mountain experience. So we found this little hole in the wall mountain experience to eat lunch. And it was called Bella's Cafe. And we go in there, in the mountains of North Carolina, where everybody talks a little bit different. And on the menu was Cuban sandwich. Blackened dolphin. So the guy looks at us and says, "Y'all from out of town?" "Yes, we are. We're from Florida." "Florida, I'm from Florida. The cook's from Hialeah." Made some good biscuits and gravy, I'll tell you that. Just had a wonderful time. Left North Carolina, went to Indianapolis. You ever been to Indianapolis? If you're looking men, women, if you're saying, we need a getaway, and we just don't know where to go. We have that problem all the time. Where do you go? Go to Indianapolis. Great little city, easy to navigate, wonderful places to eat, lots to look and see. We enjoyed that little city. Jim Ingersoll, are you here? Right there. By the way, congratulations. Their daughter got married yesterday. I saw pictures of beautiful. Did you say finally? Is that what you said? Oh, okay. I hope you didn't say that. If you're watching, Lord, he didn't mean that. Okay. But Jim and Carl were in Indianapolis. Brother Jim was a helicopter pilot in the Vietnam War. And they had a big reunion of helicopter pilots, had a Huey helicopter there. And just so happened it was in Indianapolis. And I enjoyed that. Thank you very much for that tour and to spend some time. Left that little city and went to some place called Chicago. A big city. You ever been to Chicago? Now, God did some amazing things for me in Chicago. It was in Chicago I realized I was on vacation. Because I'm not normally a calm person. I especially when I'm driving. And I get into Chicago. We had a beautiful, awesome experience in Chicago. We took a tour, a boat tour, down the Chicago River, I guess is what it's called, and saw all the architectural buildings. They told us the story from the Great Fire. You ought to read Spurgeon's books. He talks about the Great Fire that really influenced his ministry. I was thinking about Suzette Wilson on that trip. For those of you that know Suzette, she'd have loved to see those big buildings. And Chicago has traffic. Don't ever complain to me about traffic again. You don't understand traffic until you go to Chicago. They have traffic. So everything in Chicago is expensive, but we had an opportunity to park our car in a cheaper place, cheap place, free place. And last time I was there, it was $60 to park your car. That's a lot of money. And so the Lord had arranged that through the kindness of some folks. And I was following a girl named Siri. Okay. Siri. Well, anyway, she's not going to make much of this message, but she's going to make a little bit. I could see where we were supposed to park. I can see it. Problem was, Siri couldn't see it. The building's right there. Siri wants to take me down through this tunnel. And when I talk about tunnels, I mean narrow roads, cars everywhere, box trucks stop making deliveries, just like you'd see in the movies in New York in these places. Horns honking, people speaking language, waving to you uniquely. It was kind of an experience there. And I miss my turn. And it takes me down there. And normally I would have, what's a good word here, flipped out. I'd have told the kids, shut up. If you say anything, we're going to kill you. And Bev and I would be peace and harmony, except for Siri. You turn in 50 feet. You turn in 60 feet. You turn in 80 feet. Rerouting. You're an idiot. You're going the wrong way. Siri puts pressure on you, man, when she starts doing all that. So we just turned her off and we prayed. And the Lord got us there. From Chicago, we went to northern Michigan. Yeah, if you've never been to northern Michigan, go to northern Michigan. Fly into a little city called Traverse City, rent your little car, drive up to a little city called Mackinac. That's where I grew up. I was born, or I wasn't born there, I was born in southern Michigan, but a little town of 800 people. Beverly's from a little town of 300 people. Just the lake is stunning, the beauty. You will really enjoy that. We ended up in a place called Mackinac. Anybody ever been to Mackinac Island? No cars on the island, just horses. Take two pairs of shoes, if you know what I mean. You'll get that when you get home. Woke up, it was 51 degrees. Man, you can sleep in 51 degree weather. I mean, Bev said I snored like a bear. Now, I don't know what that means because I don't snore, but she said it was like a bear on those nights. It was awesome. Wanted to come home a different way, so we went through Ohio and West Virginia. You ever been to West Virginia? Hee-haw, West Virginia. Okay, so Charleston, West Virginia, Beckley, West Virginia. I don't think they've updated any of their buildings since Noah. I'm telling you, man. It was beautiful and it was weird at the same time. If you're from West Virginia, forgive me, all right? Came down that way through the mountains and just absolutely beautiful. Pastor, why would you drive and do all that? I love to drive because it lets me think. I love to just get on the road. Same reason I love to mow the grass. I get behind the mower and I just walk and I think about nothing. Beverly says, what'd you think about? Nothing. She said, how do you think about nothing? Men can think about nothing. All the women are thinking, we know. You're not telling me anything different. We don't know. It's awesome to think about nothing. Nothing. And so I was just enjoying the beauty of God's creation. I kept singing, how great thou art. And Beverly was riding beside me. Now, she didn't see all of God's creation because the eyes didn't look like they were open all the time. And so I snapped a few pictures if you want to see them. They're kind of, you're not seeing them. They're kind of funny, though. Did two things for me. I got a message. Hold on. It's only 11:37. I only need 15 minutes to get this message in. It rests me and it reset me. It rests me and it reset me. And I was asking God and talking with the Lord and just spending time with him. And I could not get this verse out of my mind. Verse number 3, where it talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. I was able to, on vacation, get out of my routine. I was able to get out from the structure of my day-to-day life. I was able to get a break. I was able to get free in my mind. And sometimes you need to get away from the routine of your life so you can be reminded about what life is all about. And I learned a couple things, and you just got to let me kind of not vent, but just let me share my heart with you. I'll have an ABC message next week. This is a heart message. Went to two churches while I was gone, and I realized something. All churches have mountains and all churches have valleys. All churches have problems. Spend some time with family, and I realized something. All families have problems. All of them. No families without problem. Heard some life stories. Some life changed on a dime. We've experienced that even in our church. And I found that all lives have mountains and they have valleys. And I have found that there is a simplicity that is in Christ, but life itself is not always simple. And sometimes the complexity and the chaos of our lives can have such an influence in our mind, in our vision, in our thinking, in our encouragement, or in our discouragement. And life, as complex and chaotic as it can be, seems so quick sometimes in the change of life. I don't know, as I was driving and looking at the mountains and looking at God's creation and just listening and being preached to myself and thinking about how great God is. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that our God does not change. And as I was able to get out of the routine, I was reminded of something. It reset me. It reset me to the fact that life is complex. Life is not simple. But there is a simplicity that does exist in Jesus Christ. Now, I need you to know something. Just because Paul is letting us know that there is a simplicity that is in Christ does not mean that Jesus is so simple that he's not able to care for your complex life. I want you to know something. There, the Bible says that there is nothing too hard for God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Including your problems. Including your problems. Including your schedule. Including your fear. Including the complexity of our lives from a business point, or from an employee point, or from a health point, or from a relational point. Sometimes, even God's people, we get so caught up in the complexity of life that somehow we get to the point where we think that even Jesus cannot help us, or that the Bible or the person of Christ is too simple for what we are dealing with, when in reality, we as humans need simplicity. We need the stability and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Man, when I got out of here and I began to look at the mountains and I went to those beautiful waterfalls that are all through North Carolina and Georgia, and you just stood there and you watched that water pour off the top of those waterfalls and pound into that ground, the noise and the power, and to think God created that. I got news for you. Our God is all powerful. He is amazing. You look at the splendor and the beauty and the vastness of what he has created, and you're just reminded of how big God is, how strong God is, how loving God is. We were in a cabin, and one of the instructions on how to partake in that cabin was, in the morning, open up the windows and let the birds sing to you. Well, I was on vacation, so I didn't get the morning tune. I got the afternoon tune, okay? But, man, I opened up those windows, and I would hear those birds just singing. We were driving, and a bird hit the window, and it met the maker. And I was reminded of what Jesus said about when a little sparrow falls, the Lord is there. And I so many things on vacation reminded me about the intimate, personal relationship that we have with the Lord. My friends, if you're saved, God lives inside of you. It's fascinating. It reset me that it's complex and it's chaotic and it's changing and it's challenging as life is. There is an answer to life. And there is a peace to life, and it is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Bible talks about the simplicity of Christ, here in verse number 3, the Bible's talking about the singleness of Christ. He's not double-minded. He's not unstable. He's not self-seeking. It's a sincere term. It carries with it a generosity and a bountifulness and a liberalness. Now, in the context here, and I'm going to expand it, but in the context here, Paul knows the value and the importance for God's people to be reminded that there is a simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus. In the context of what is happening, the church at Corinth is being affected by people called Judaizers. And what the Judaizers are trying to do is they're trying to pull the church into a double standard. They're trying to pull the church away from faith in Christ and the gospel. And they're trying to pull them into this works-dominated law position of faith. And as these Judaizers are trying to pull away the church from the simplicity that is in Christ, it's bringing about a complexity and a chaos to their lives. I want to stop here and I want you to think with me. I say this all the time. You don't come to church here not to think. Complexity and chaos. Those two words define your life right now. Those two words define any part of your life. Pastor, my job is just so complex. Pastor, my relationships are so chaotic. Pastor, our finances are just so challenging. Complex, chaotic, challenging. These were things that were happening to the church. And Paul was afraid. Look at verse number 4. This is how far he was afraid the effect of this. For if he, this would be a different preacher, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, Paul had started this church, man. Paul had loved these people. Paul had preached the gospel to them. And here's what Paul's realizing, that as there's this pull away from the simplicity that is in Christ, there's this tendency for even God's people to entertain this pull or to be open to this pull. And Paul's saying, now listen, if you're pulled away from the simplicity that's in Christ, you cannot handle the complexity of your life. I'm going to say that again. If you are allowed to be pulled away from the simplicity that is in Christ, you will never handle the complexity of your life. It will crush you. Why? Because you and I are not God. We're not God. And so this pull that is happening is really satanic and diabolical. If you look at verse number 3, he references the serpent that beguiled Eve. If you look at verse number 14, he reminds them that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so in the immediate context, there is this satanic, diabolical pull through these Judaizers to pull the church away from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is beginning with the gospel of Jesus. It was trying to pull them to be saved some other way than through the truth, the way, and the life through the Lord. But my friends, even believers, if we're pulled away, if they can be pulled away from the gospel, we can be pulled away in other areas of our Christian walk. Go, if you would, to John chapter 1. I want to show you something. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. You should have something there already. I love this verse. I hope you have it memorized. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is capitalized here. It's referring to Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh, there's Christmas, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of, say those three words, grace and truth. Now, if complexity and chaos define life, basically, as sin has affected life and defines life as most of us know and live. And those two words are so heavy and challenging. I don't know about you, but I love the words grace and truth. Grace and truth are in the Lord Jesus. Thank God for his saving grace. Thank God for his amazing grace. And thank God for the truth of the Word of God that helps us to understand our life. So if I want to know grace and I want to know truth, I find that in Jesus Christ. Paul said, not only is there saving grace, but there's keeping grace, there's sufficient grace to meet the needs of our life. And then truth, how to navigate life. There's one way to navigate life, and that's according to the Word of God. And so as the Apostle Paul here is burdened for this church and being brought away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus. And as I was driving and out of my routine and the complexity of life, I was rested and nourished by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But I was also reset that, yes, life is complex. But I either submit to the complexity of that life and allow it to negatively affect me, or I submit to the one who came to give me life and give it to me more abundantly and know the joy and the blessing and the stability and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. I got news for you. Jesus is sufficient to meet every need of your life. And sometimes you got to remember that. Sometimes you got to go away to be reminded of that. But even in the complexity of life, who do you run to when you're afraid? The psalmist said, at what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Where do you run to for an anchor? The Bible talks about the Word of God being the anchor to our soul. Pastor, my life is so complex. Right. And if you want to bring a simplicity to that life, it's brought through the person of Jesus Christ and Him alone. The simplicity was being challenged in the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want to show you a couple things before we go to Genesis and be done. Look, if you would, where it was being challenged. Verse number 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your, say that word class, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And this is the modus operandi of the devil today. He's still attacking the minds of God's people. The devil can work your mind up into a chaotic frenzy. If you're not careful and you leave your mind unguarded, the devil can begin to tell you things like you're the only one that has problems. The devil can begin to tell you like even God can't help you. The devil can begin to bring about so many balls that you're juggling or so many difficulties that you're facing. And he can kind of distract you with all of the difficulty. And if you're not careful in your mind, You will create this complexity to your life. Pastor, are you making fun of my life? Because my life is serious. I'm not making fun of your life. I'm just saying this. There is a simplicity to life. And his name is Jesus Christ. And you can create a chaotic, changing, carefree, forgot my word here, complexity thing in your mind. And so what was Satan trying to do? Satan was trying to pull the minds of this church to even believe another gospel, to believe another preacher, to receive another spirit. And so Satan will begin to try to pull your mind to begin to thinking things and unnerving you and not allowing you to trust the Lord, to see God for who he is, to know his love, to know his power, to understand that. And he does it in subtle ways. He's very deceitful. That's his goal. His goal is to get you to a position where your mind no longer values Jesus. Now, not very many saved people in this room would say that we don't value Jesus, because we value him. But we devalue him when we think him too simple to handle our complex life. And in reality, we are the ones being fooled into complexity. And Jesus sees our lives with tremendous simplicity. No problem is too big for him. No difficulty is too hard for him. No situation has too much pressure. No situation is too dire or disaster. There's nothing too hard for God. And so in our minds, as Satan pulls us away from that, we don't trust that simplicity of the person of Christ and his work to meet our needs. And so if we don't trust the Lord, then where do we go? We go to our own mind. The moment you try to control your life, you've brought on your shoulders complexity you can't handle. You don't have enough money. If you had all the money in the world, you couldn't handle the world's problems. So when we try to become like God and try to handle our difficulties, man, life just gets so chaotic and so complex. And then when the preacher says, hey, go to God's word, get a truth from God's word, hang on to the eternal word of God. I know, Pastor, but that's not going to work in this case. It works in all cases. All cases. So the devil tries to attack in your mind. He tries to get you to devalue or not trust Christ. And here, Paul gave us an example of the specific attack of the enemy. Go to Genesis chapter 3. And I'll finish here. You can tell I haven't preached two services. Are you in Genesis 3 verse 1? You're asleep. You don't care. No problem. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. I hope you have that underlined. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not touch of it or eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God didn't say that. She made that up. He said part of that. He didn't say all of that. By the way, you're always in trouble when you say God said something he didn't say. Remember that. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Bold-faced lie. He's the father of all lies. He's a liar from the beginning, a murderer. Verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now there's a little bit of truth here. He's not far off from what God had said. Look, if you would, at verse number 22. After it was all over, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He had to do that so they wouldn't have been condemned and lost forever. So look at me and I'll finish up. Paul says to the church at Corinth, I'm afraid for you. Here's what I'm afraid for you. I am afraid that you're letting the devil pull you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. From a gospel level all the way through your Christian walk. Paul says he's deceitful and he works in your mind. And he does in your mind the same thing he did in Eve's mind. It was simple in the garden. They had one instruction. You may eat of all the trees of the garden freely, but of this one tree you wouldn't. It wasn't that God was withholding it from them. He was withholding it them from for their own good. Satan shows up. And the first thing Satan does is Satan brings doubt into the mind of Eve about the authority of the word of God. Yea, hath God said? He begins to question the word of God to Eve. And she entertains that question. In questioning and bringing up doubt in the word of God, Satan is really bringing up doubt into the character of God. And basically Satan is saying this: if God loved you, God would do more from you. If God knows that you're going to be a God if you let him, and he's withholding this from you. And it's an attack against the love and the goodness of God that comes in from the word of God. Now Satan does the same thing to us. He attacks the word of God in our minds as to the relevance of it being absolute truth, of it being vital, of it being relevant in our lives, and begins to get us to question what God has said. I got news for you, church. The word of God is eternal truth. You want to complex your life. You want to know chaos and complexity that you could never handle, you walk away from the word of God. Help me with this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This will help you simplify your life. Because it takes your mind and your heart and your focus and it puts it on the eternal word of God, and nobody understands your life like God understands your life. Then that fool, Satan, has the audacity to call God to his face. You stinking liar. You shall not surely die. God said they would. Not what he does is he brings up doubt and then he denies the very power and authority of the word of God. And once Eve had entertained doubt, once she had been confronted with a denial, this woman is so vulnerable. Now she moves away from that simple statement, that simple truth. Well, it can't just be that simple, so let me just kind of figure this out for myself. And she takes of that in her own mind, and condemnation and sin, my friends. Most of the time, the discouragement, don't miss me, the discouragement that comes with the complexity of life is because somehow we're doubting or denying the word of God in our lives. Everybody's life can be complex. Everybody's life can be chaotic. Everybody's life can be challenging. Everybody's life. The ones that survive it are the ones that remember that there is a simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. There is a simplicity that is in the word of God. And the whole world can be complex, but I'm going to anchor my hope and I'm going to follow this book as it leads me through the path of life. And you know what happens? Peace. Peace. So I want to ask you a question. Do you have peace in your mind? Pastor, what in the world do you mean? Do I have peace in my mind? Yeah, think about that. Do you have peace in your mind? Pastor, nobody could have peace in their mind and have life like mine. I don't even know what I'm going to do for a job. I want to be married. I don't want to be married. It goes back and forth. I want to do this. Nobody can have peace. Nope. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people in this room that literally have hell in their life. And yet they have peace because there is a peace that passes all understanding, and that peace comes from God. So you can complex your life all you want to, but don't let the devil pull you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. He loves you. He lives in you. He knows you. He can handle the greatest, the highest, and the deepest parts of your life. Trust the word of God. Know the peace of God. Shall we pray?